Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Thank you for coming to join us today. We've been talking about these principles of these elementary principles that we should have in us, in our hearts. That ought to be the foundation. It's the foundation of your faith. And so what's foundational is necessary because that's what you keep building on. When you build on a foundation that's solid, what you build on is going to stand. But if you build on a faulty foundation, it's going to get crooked and fall apart. So this is the whole idea. We want to understand the foundation that we've been building on. And so this is so significant. These principles, we've been looking at them. And we've been talking about repentance and faith towards God. And that's, we're going to stay there for a minute today. But we also been talking about the four elements of repentance. Remember what they were? Acknowledgement, honesty, right? Confession, and forgiveness. Those are the four elements that are in repentance. And when you repent, those things put things back together and you start to walk in wholeness. That's what repentance is all about. Repentance just brings you back to God, brings you to God. Repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is a good word. Amen. So look at it as a good word. It's not a bad word. It's a good word. It's a healthy word. See, a lot of people have this idea, repent. And you got some guy on the corner, you know, shouting, you know. But it's repentance is a good word. It's a biblical word. And we need to understand that. And so it means to change your mind. Right? To change your mind. That's repentance. Change your mind. Metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means mind. Right? So what happens when we don't change our mind? We get paranoia. We pair up with thoughts that aren't from God. And now we have fear and doubt and unbelief. And you'd be scared all the time and upset all the time and full of worry and doubt and unbelief. We don't want that. We want our repentance to move us toward God because He holds everything together. Amen? So that's what we've been talking about. And oh, hello, live stream. Glad you tuned in. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Pastor Fred here at Russell Road Church, and we're glad you tuned in. Like I said, you've heard me what we've been talking about, these principles in Hebrews 6, these elementary principles of the faith. And when they start working in our lives, we begin to benefit from them. And remember the word benefit, B-E-N-E, good, fit is qualified. These principles are God's, and God's benefits are in these principles. Good, qualified. We qualify for the good when we function and operate in these principles. See, a lot of people don't understand that. Oh, this Christianity, that stuff doesn't work. Oh, yes, it does. God's word works. When you work the word, God work. But you're not working the word, you're going to be miserable. And you know who's making you miserable? Yourself. Not God. And it's not even the devil. It's you. The devil will leave you alone when he knows you're ignorant. You don't know anything, he'll leave you alone. You just destroy yourself. That's the way that works. All right. So let's go to, who I got back there? Hey, Tim, give me Hebrews chapter 6, but first we're going to go to the vision. Hebrews chapter 6, 1 will be the verse, but first we'll go to the vision. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh boy, that is a vision, right? Now in Acts 26, Paul, remember what did we talk about the last few weeks? Redemption. We talked about redemption, didn't we? I bet Pate or Layton knows what we've been talking about. Well, she's been taking notes. She's been keeping me accountable. How old are you, Layton?
Eight.
8 years old. Came up last week and had to get the scripture. You didn't give us the scripture reference. You said it a little fast. Could I have that, please? She wrote it down, and I know she looked it up. But I like that. We should all be like that. Layton, you're a blessing. So now think about this. God, when in Acts 26, remember what he redeemed us out of. The slave market. We were once slave to our own lust and sin and desires. Slaves to it. The slave market, remember, that's what redemption means. And then he located us. And then he ransomed us. He paid the price with his blood to purchase us back. And so now we're the redeemed of the Lord.
Amen.
So we have to see what God has done. Now think about this. This is the vision God gave Paul in Acts 26 on the road to Damascus. He says, now I'm going to send you. And really he's talking about you and me. Now I'm going to send you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God,
amen,
that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance sanctified by faith in me, in Jesus. You see that? That's our call of God on our life. That's why we have to grow and mature. We're here to help others get out of the slave market. You see that? Because the ones who aren't saved and the ones who haven't understood, they're still under that slave market. Are you with me? They're still way below what God designed them for. Hmm? That's the way that works. It doesn't mean you're better, but it means you're better off. So, let's read this verse. I like you standing. It seems like you pay attention when you stand. We have to get you so you can sit down. All right. Let's look at this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Not laying it again. So in other words, when you're not laying it again, you've already got it. But a lot of people coming to church don't already have it. And they wonder why things aren't working, and they wonder why they're miserable, and they wonder why things are the way they are, because they don't understand repentance. When you don't understand it, you don't operate in it. And we have to learn how to function and operate in repentance. And it's basic. It's 101 Christianity.
Amen.
And that's why we have to grow. Now, go ahead and be seated. So, remember, we've been talking about how we need the wisdom of God, and God's wisdom is, who's the wisdom of God for? You. Okay, we all have gifts, we all have talents, but the gifts and talents are for others. Wisdom is for you personally, how to navigate your life, how to respond to others, how to respond to situations and circumstances. And that's what wisdom is. And that's why we need God's wisdom. Remember, I say this all the time. In Proverbs 2:10, he says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Remember what discretion means? It means discernment and insight. When you get God's wisdom, you get discernment and insight about yourself and other people around you. How many of you need some of that? We need God's wisdom. When wisdom enters your heart, I got to say it all over again. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. That's why we have to grow, and that's why we have to mature. Because when we don't have understanding, we stay in the dark. We stay in ignorance. And understanding is something you have to grow in and increase in. And that's what we have to grow in. All right. So, let's go. Remember, I told you we have the four elements of repentance, and you find them in Psalms 32. Give me Psalms 32, 5, if you would, Tim. All right. Now, let's look at this. I acknowledged my sin. That was number one. Then it says, and my iniquity I have not hidden. That was number two, honesty. You can't hide anything from God, right? You just can't. You can't hide anything from him because he sees everything. It says in Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must all give an account. We're going to have to all give an account for our lives to God one day. Amen? Because he sees everything. Now watch. He says, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You see, when you first do those three, first three, they kick the last one in, and it works automatically. You see that? It just works automatically for you. When you acknowledge and you're honest and you confess, it removes unforgiveness, gets rid of it. We're gonna stay on this. But today we're gonna talk about confession. And this is the element I'm gonna spend a moment on because of the value of it and the importance of it. Everybody say confession. So now we've been talking and teaching on Wednesday nights how in Proverbs 4, it talks about guarding your heart. And it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That's in Proverbs 4:24-26. And then the next verse, it says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. That's the first principle in how you guard your mouth. Your heart. You put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. He's saying you've got to get this area of your life under God's auspices. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. So God has to do it. So you have to spend time with God and you have to talk to God and communicate with God in order to get him to help you with this thing called your mouth. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Everybody say your mouth.
Your mouth.
Okay. So now look at this. Wherever I go in life, listen to me, is going to be tethered to who you become. Wherever I go in life is going to be tethered to who you become. You become what you say. What you're saying is what you're becoming. Give me Proverbs 18:21, Tim. We become what we speak. You know, I was teaching on Wednesday night. You know, young people are, you know, they're looking for direction in life. And that's significant. That's why they want to understand the Bible, because the Bible really has answers. It's Sound doctrine is really the Bible. And young people need answers. And you know, they're looking for ahead. They're going to want to get married someday. But I said, don't fall in love with someone who doesn't love themselves. And that I'm not talking about being selfish. I'm talking about loving yourself the way God loves you. See, we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the next verse says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, when you love yourself, your value comes up. You love yourself because you've been communing with God. Because you understand repentance, and you're removing all the barriers between you and God, and you're now you're communing with God. You're talking to God, and he's telling you who you are. And now he's up, man, I'm all that. Now look. He told me the other morning, I was studying for this, he says, you're holy. I said, oh boy, I'm holy. Think about this. He says, you're holy. And the word holy is hagios. H-A-G-I-O-S. Hagios. Now think about this. This is where this word comes from. In the Old Testament, they would look for a holy place for God's people to gather. This is where this word comes from. They would look for a holy place, and they call it consecrated. They would consecrate this area to build a temple for God's people to gather. They would consecrate it and set it apart to be holy.
Amen.
You know what holy means? It means to be intrigued with awe. Amen. To be intrigued with awe. It means to be in reverence. In reverence to. You're holy. God is intrigued with awe.
Amen.
Toward you.
Yeah.
You're holy. You need to get this. Now think about this. Think about this. When you know you're holy, it really quickens something in you to say, I can't hang out in that. When I look, he says, you're holy. Well, where do you get that? In the New Testament, God did not give up on you. He continued, and he kept looking at the slave market, and he ransomed, and now you came. You came to Christ, and now you're holy.
Hallelujah.
Because he didn't give up on you.
That's right.
Are you getting this? He pulled you. You know what the word salvation means? It comes from the word, what is it?
Salvage.
Salvage. And a salvage is a salvage dump where you dump trash. We were in the trash heap of the devil's slave market. And God brought salvation to us and pulled us out of that and made us holy. Are you listening to me? That's where the word salvation comes from, salvage.
Amen.
I go to India and I see these kids in these trash heaps pulling little nuggets of something to eat and something that they can go sell. Trash. We were in this trash heap of the enemy, and God pulled us out of that.
Amen.
And when we understand how holy we are and who we are, we're not going to settle for anything less. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Come on, am I making sense?
Yeah.
You are holy.
Pastor.
You know why he says you're holy? Because you're the temple.
Amen.
You're now the temple. He says, I see you, and you're sanctified and consecrated, Deb. You consecrated, and the Holy Spirit is in you. And he put him in you. He values you. That's why our value should start to come up.
Yes.
We're not going to settle for anything less. Am I making sense?
Amen.
I'm not going to... See, when you... I don't care who abused you. I don't care what the divorce. I don't care what you've been through. When your value's low, you don't have dominion. You were created for dominion. You were created to have authority, not over other people, over yourself, so you don't destroy yourself. When you understand what God says about you, are you listening to me?
That's right.
That's what holy is. Oh, goodness gracious. Everything all right?
Keep going.
So good. Hallelujah.
Everybody say, I'm holy.
I'm holy.
No, wait, you can't say that until you say it. Are you born again?
I'm born again.
If you're born again, you're holy. You're not holy until you're born again. That's what we got to. When you're a child of God, now you're holy.
Right.
And that's good news.
Yes.
When you know that you're holy, you're going to change the way you live, and it's going to change everything. And this is what we got to understand about our words and our confession. So now, I just get excited about that. No matter what's been done to you in the past, listen to me. God says you're his beloved. That word beloved means he loved you in the past. He loves you in the present, and he's going to love you in the future.
Hallelujah.
You see that? And he made you holy.
That's right.
You see that? Is that good news or what?
Yes.
Come on now. You're his beloved. Say, I'm beloved. He loved you when you were in the trash heap and in the slave market.
Hallelujah.
And he wouldn't leave you alone till you said yes. Oh, goodness gracious. Because he knew you would say yes. Oh, that's good news right there. Now let's look at this. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Talking about confession. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We need to pray, Lord, help me with my tongue. And then, help me with my tongue so I can use my tongue to deliver me. So I can use my tongue to deliver me. Now think about this. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You will eat the fruit of your words. If you don't like where you are right now, it's because of what you've been eating. You don't like your marriage? It's the words that have been coming out of your mouth about your marriage. You got to watch what you say on your way home from work to yourself. The most important conversation you guys had this morning was with yourself. What you said to yourself. What are you saying to yourself? You are the prophet of your own future. Now, think about this. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So your words are seed. Your words are seed. You plant, seed time and harvest, talks about in Genesis. Nothing can change that. Seed time and harvest. You plant a seed, it's going to grow. You see that? If you plant a seed... Now think about this. They found some seed in Egypt in one of those pyramids. The seed was 3,000 years old. They found it in this little box sealed with wax. That's the way they used to seal things. They opened it up, and the seeds were in there. They planted the seeds, and the seeds grew. You know what it was? Fig tree. Because it wasn't in an environment to grow. It was still in the box. So if it's still in the box, it's not going to grow something. So if your word, you don't say it, not going to grow. Seed time and harvest. You can't change it. It will grow. It will produce something. And what you're saying, you're producing it with your words. Did you hear what I said? That's a universal principle. I used to put, when I was in high school, my dad grew a garden on the side of the house. He grew a garden and had tomatoes and radishes and onions and cucumbers and squash and peppers and just all this stuff and around the front of his house and down the side of his house. And one time I had me a bag of something. I put me a seed out of that bag. Then I put it in the dirt. Next thing I know, that three-leafed thing was growing like a weed.
Ornery, Pastor.
I know. That was before Christ. That's before Christ. I didn't think it would grow, but I just put it in the dirt and it grew. Then I tried to do something with it. It didn't really work, but... I was in the trash heap. I was in the slave market trying to escape my problems and my isms and schisms. That was before Christ. So now look, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So now, your words are seeds. And what you say to yourself is really helping you to become what you're saying. So if you're talking about your past and all the negativity, that's low value. That's always on your mind. That's what you're becoming. But if your value's coming up, you're starting to enjoy life. Amen. Now you know what you're doing now? You're advancing the kingdom.
Amen.
You see that? You're advancing the kingdom when you start to speak what God says over you. Huh. Seed time and harvest. In Isaiah 55, he says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven, and the snow, and does not return there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing which, for which I have sent it, and then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace." You see, when you come into agreement with what God says over your life, now you are advancing the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? Did you catch that? Well, we got to get God's thoughts, get his word, and come into agreement with it and confess it. In the beginning was the Word. W-O-R-D. What's the word word mean? Thoughts communicated. The Bible is God's thoughts communicated. When I function in the principle of confession, I'm in agreement with God. And that's what he's calling us all to.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.